Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel, Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Dom.
And we are here with a special sort of like pre-jump point episode focused on the results, Dom, of our Kickstarter challenge. So this was funded in part by Dom and in part by the channel here. So thanks to Dom and his channel, Dusk Haunters. Don't forget to check them out. And subscribe over there on YouTube. Some great content over there, Dom, generated by yourself.
I don't know about great. That might be a bridge too far.
Classic.
Very amateur, but I'm passionate about Battletech. So.
Yeah, that you are. That you are. So speaking of passionate, Dom, we have not only a winner to announce, but we did decide there are going to be a couple runners-up as well. That will get some sort of prize, a box set. And if the timing works out with the opening of the pledge manager, which we will talk about, you'll get the choice of which pack you get. Otherwise, I'll pick for you. So just going to be IS Battle Armor. That's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people may like that. I wouldn't mind some more IS Battle Armor. All right. So let's talk about real quick what the competition was. So basically what we did was we threw up a mock mission briefing, which I'll bring up here on the screen. And we'd sort of conceptualized this mission and gave some objectives. And what we asked the contestants to do, which, by the way, this was basically open to everybody on Patreon. And, you know, the higher tier up you were in Patreon, the longer your entry could be, or you could submit multiple entries. But essentially what we were looking at here was there was a dispute on this planet. There was a bit of an insurgency. There were suspect of foreign powers being involved, probably Capellans, as we might expect.
Definitely Capellans.
And the contestants were asked to put together a force. Could be mechs, could be combined arms, could be all infantry, could be whatever. But they had limitations on that, on the number of units, but they could pick kind of from anything that was available in the time. Now the date of this particular mission is in 3157. All right. Fun fact, it was supposed to say 3057, Dom. And then after I published, I was like, well, Ilclan, here we come. So it's kind of fun.
I was going to say, you've absolutely like catapulted us, what, 6 years into the future?
Though. 6 years into the future.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Very, very nice. So
this is why we get all the Dark Age mechs.
That's right. That's why we got all the weird ass, right, forestry mechs. Unfortunately, nobody submitted an entire unit of forestry mechs. That most certainly
they
would have
won, by the way. That would have won. Yeah.
Would have won. But yeah, so basically they have the objectives, and again, like we were looking for, we were looking for entries that spoke to not only how they would complete the mission and the objectives, but maybe how they would minimize casualties. Dom was very keyed on like the cohesion and creativity behind the force design. You know, Tom had his input, Chris and Dan, everybody sort of looking at these things from different angles. And we sort of force ranked independently. Like our top 10. And then we took a look at them and we took a look at, you know, there were definitely some that stuck out at the top. Mm-hmm. And so our winner, Dom, was a unit called Hutton's Black Jaegers. Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
I've got to say, this entry was exceptional. I think it ticks all the boxes. I think it's important we say as well, we didn't really have a set format for how we... Like you just said, just to reiterate that, it wasn't like this wasn't just judged on copy, although the copy is obviously important. We tried to be as broad as we could just so there was a degree of fairness to it, because obviously some of our esteemed Patreon members, English might not be their first language. So, right. You know, we just didn't want to bias it in that way. So it was several different things taken into account.
Right.
The unit that they chose, though, I'll run through the mechs and then we can we can discuss that. This is an SRM party for sure. We've got here a Hunchback HBK 6S, which is quite a late era hunchback, I think. I believe, just off memory, I think it's got the LBX20 in there, and I think that's got an SRM6 as well, I believe. Mm. Got the Urban Mech UMR27, which really is an SRM party. I believe that has three banks of SRM6s. Then we got the bit of a joker in the pack here. There's the Assassin ASN-109. Joker. Obviously, Assassins are, yeah, ridiculously quick, but a little bit flimsy. Mm-hmm. This, for this mission, though, we felt like you really did need speed. So I think that's why the Assassin was no doubt chosen here. We then have a Thunderbolt TDR-11S, which is a pretty standard type Thunderbolt. It does have the SRM6 in there, but I think it's got the ERPPC on, so it's just like an upgraded Thunderbolt. And then we've got two non-mech units, which we had a Maxim Hover Tank, just a standard Maxim Hover Tank, and standard foot infantry with, you guess it, SRMs. Now, why this got interesting,
right,
is because the copy, I mean, I don't think we're going to read it all out. That might be a bridge too far here. But the copy was very well written. Mm-hmm. And one of the key points made in the copy was that the Black Jaegers had access to Inferno missiles. Now, this being a, you know, it all tied together is what we're trying to get at. And it went into great detail on how they had access to these SRMs through, like, political affiliations and things like that are quite impressive. You know, the person, you know, is this, they've thought this out.
There's backstory, right? There's really good backstory. And I agree with you, right? Like it says, you know, they have familial connections to the largest Inferno gel manufacturer in the Lyran Commonwealth, right? So very cool.
Amazing.
Right? Like my brother's the CEO of like Inferno Inc.
Yeah, and you just, you know, those SRM units, you know, the guy, Bob down the road, has like a yard full of them. So
just so many.
Just symbiosis here.
Right, and I will tell you, the thing that really caught me, so one, when I was looking at the entries, I think you hit it, right? I wasn't looking like grammar policing these things, but I wanted there to be a story, right? I wanted to learn more about who these people were, and you know why they were mercenaries, and you know what their history was, and there were all like the hooks in this one. The other really cool thing was, you know, this submission was the only one that talked about how non-combat units. Well, I shouldn't say the only one, but it was the best implementation of how non-combat units were going to contribute to success. So this unit carries on retainer. A detective, right? That, you know, and he talks about how this detective has 15 years of experience with the Regulus Police Department, and is going to basically investigate the leadership, and has experience doing these types of things, and you know is going to capture the leader, which was one of the key objectives. Just kind of going back to this graphic, right?
Yeah,
right. Not just blowing up the insurgents and protecting the areas, but let's capture
speed
the commander.
And intelligence.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so I really thought that to me was like, that was the deal sealer. I thought it was really, really well done. So, that was the winner. And congratulations. So I was able to, before the initial Kickstarter closed, got on the horn with this guy. We picked out all their selections. It was really cool. It was great to talk to them in person as well. So again, congratulations to Hutton's Black Jaegers. Very, very nice. Cool. Yeah. Now, we do have some runner-ups, and we're not going to go into great detail here, but I will tell you there were some that surfaced with multiple votes across the team.
And by the way, this wasn't preempted. This was like, there are some really good ones in here. We can't not give them gifts.
Right. It's true. It's true. So the first one is the Murder Men. So congratulations to the Murder Men. The second one is the Axton Cavaliers. Good unit selection there. Good story. The other one is the Slaughterhousers, which was one of Tom's favorites. This is essentially like a unit of all things with hatchets that will chop you to pieces. Very funny. And then I really liked Grace Under Fire was another unit. So really good. So all of our runner-ups will receive a force pack. Now, if it's open, I think we talked about this. If the pledge manager is open, they'll get to pick. If not, I will pick for you. I think what I'll probably do, if there is no opportunity to pick, is I think everyone will get like a Somerset Strikers commemorative edition. I'll sign it before I mail it out. But so congratulations. This was a very fun challenge. And thanks to Dom again. This was his idea from the beginning. So great job on that. I think it was definitely a lot of fun for the community.
I think we do like to try and give back to the community, because
you like to give back to the community. I just wanted to keep it all for myself. just kidding.
It's fair enough.
All right. So wrapping up this whole Kickstarter thing. So, you know, the pledge manager opened, everybody hopefully got their stuff in, the pledge manager closed. So there's really not a ton to talk about, except for that the pledge manager is in fact going to reopen. So if you hit the lottery, or if you're like me and you're like, I don't remember how much I spent, I'm going to spend some more, you know, you can do that and add on a couple more packs. Certainly I'll be adding on the runner up prizes, to mine. And so I think that's that. Also, they did give credits, right, Dom, for the dice. I believe that was taken care of. I got my credits on that.
I think I didn't get mine, but I can't say I really care. To be honest,
it's because you're British.
Yeah, I've heard a few people. I think that might be it. I think it's Independence Day coming up as well. So I really
that's right.
Don't mess with. I'm not going to go.
Don't tread on me, Dom.
No. The red coats are coming. You know.
Oh my God, that's funny. I mean, you should have gotten them. And if not, and you care if it was significant, you can, like for me, it was, I think I only ordered a handful of pairs. I think it was like $25. I just applied it to shipping.
That many dice in the new Kickstarter anyway.
So many dice. There's a lot. It should be cool. I thought about buying the whole, like, you know, every faction or whatever, but it was like
$250.
Yeah, it was $250, I think. Yeah. It was not cheap. So I don't need that. I'm afraid to look over in this direction because there's just like dice everywhere.
Just dice towers. Yeah. I think the quality on these is going to be like, you know, obviously the quality issues on the first Kickstarter.
God, you hope. I think they learned their lesson. Yeah. I think they learned.
Yeah. I have a feeling these ones are going to be beautiful.
Like, yeah.
Just to make up for it.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. So Kickstarter is pretty much done. I think everybody is like battle-teched out, which is great. You know, now all we can do is, you know, make bets on when the stuff will actually arrive. At worst, we're talking 12 months. Although, you know, of course, everybody knows in the AMA, they said they were going to beat that, right?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I remember that one of the jump points we did, we discussed it, and Tom was very optimistic. Said he thought we'd get it quite soon. And from what I've heard, the factories are already in production on it. So fingers crossed Tom gets proved right. And this is maybe a January thing.
Could be. Yeah, we don't could know. Be around the holidays.
A lot can happen between here in January.
But. So much. So many geopolitical situations emerging.
So many shipping. The entire container could just fall into the sea.
Right, you know, right. Or they could, happens. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it could happen. Remember when the ship got stuck in the was it the Panama Canal or was, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It was like Panama. That was
no, no,
that
it wasn't was the sorry, no, it was the other one. It was the Egyptian Canal.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. And right, the whole ship was just like turned sideways. It was like the worst. Like you couldn't script this crap. So who knows? We'll see.
I think if BattleTech fans knew that all their stuff was on that ship, though, we'd go and get it, right? Like
we would have driven there
we'd,
to
we'd
Egypt.
Bring a, we'd get a load of mech. We'd go
just our forestry
carry
mech.
It off the mech. Yeah.
Oh jeez, yeah. Our Inferno SRMs. My brother runs the company. All right. Yeah. So speaking of fun and games, let's talk about Jump Point. So. We did our first season. It was very successful. We got a lot of great feedback on it. And so we have renewed our contract for season two.
yeah, and my fees have been paid, Aaron. But, you know, I got the money transfer through last night, so we're good to go.
We're good to go. We're good to go. We've got 10 episodes sort of scripted. We're still working on fine tuning them, and of course, subject to change based on what's hot and what's not. But you know, we've got some really good topics. We want to hit on some, you know, some new things. We want to talk about Solaris. We're going to talk about things like the RPG and campaign play. You know, how to structure your own campaign. I mean, we get so many questions about that. And so, you know, we figured we'd dedicate a couple episodes to that. So lots of really great stuff, I think, on the horizon. Might also talk about, dare I say, some other games, Dom, could happen. Maybe we'll branch out and talk about some other things that are out there. I get the question a lot in Discord, like, you know, you know, people are DMing me all the time. Hey, you know, what other stuff do you guys play? What do you paint? What do you do? You know, and I think this should come out, I believe, before or after. Dan and I just recently did a review on the Speed Paint Mega 2.0, like army painter. Ooh. Colossal box. It's crazy. There's like 3 trillion colors in it. Nice. And in that, there's a little Easter egg of some other 28mm stuff that I had painted with the speed paints, you know, just talking about the application of speed paints on that type of stuff versus mechs. Anyway, so we'll talk about all kinds of great stuff in Jump Point. So pretty excited about that. But it'll be the usual cast of characters, me, Dom, and Tom. We might rope Dan into one or two. We'll see. You know, Dan, I'm like, Dan, do you have a webcam? He's like, yeah. I'm like, is it set up? He's like, I don't know how it works. Okay. It's like, can I just come to your studio? And I'm like, no, Dan, you cannot.
Got to do it from your own house.
Got to do it from your own home. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
So that's why we call it Jump Point, Dan. All right. So anyway, so that's Jump Point. But yeah, Dom, very excited to get those lined up for next season. Yeah, that'll
be very fun. I think we got some good subjects to talk about.
One other thing I think we could hit on real quick, since you are sort of a classic aficionado. So I think if anybody's been paying attention, I think a few thousand have. We recently made the switch back to classic BattleTech. And I must tell you, my favorite part of this has been reading the comments, section. There have been some really, really good ones. One guy posted, he's like, they always come back. Like, you know.
They
always come crawling back. I think that's exactly what it said. Very funny. You know, people are asking like, oh my God, are you abandoning Alpha Strike? What about Destiny? What about this? Listen, like we're spreading the love, classic. It's been too long.
Yeah. There are many gaming systems. No one is wed to one, right? So
yeah.
This is why.
I mean, and in fairness, like it gets boring when you play the same thing over and over. At least for me, it does. I mean, maybe everybody, I'd leave it in the comments. I mean, I'm curious how many of you guys only play Classic or only play Alpha Strike. And if you only play that, do you not play any other games? Like, how many of you out there only play a single game? Maybe you do. And maybe it's because you only play once a month. I don't know anybody.
No. Even with BattleTech, I don't really know anyone who just plays Classic anymore.
Right.
You know, depends, right? Like, if you want to go regiment versus regiment, try do that in Classic. I mean, you know,
you can't
book a 2-week holiday. No, you can't do it. So
it's
horses
true.
For courses, right? If you're doing your little skirmish, you can do Classic. If you go bigger, go Alpha Strike.
Right. That's right. And I think, you know, overall, I think people have been receptive and excited to see it. You know, Dan and I have been playing mostly rules as written, although I will tell you, the one thing we absolutely are not doing is the 20 points where you have to make a piloting check. We totally whiffed on that. And like we just never thought to look it up. And so we were just like, forget it. We're rolling with it. So this like series we're going to eliminate that one. And of course we're not playing on paper maps, which is, you know, a rule in strategic ops, but we're not really playing with complicated cover rules. There are all sorts of ones where if your arm's covered, you can't hit that. And we're not doing any of that stuff. But one of the other things that kept coming up, because in the first one we did, we made the mistake of fielding the Vulture A, which has, you know, fires up to 36 SRMs. You can generate a lot of hits. And everyone's like, you dummy. Like, you know, Dan and I were making jokes about it. And I think some people were laughing with us and some people were like rolling their eyes at us. But some people, you know, had made the comment about, you know, well, you need to build a box of death and put like all these dice in the box and roll the box. And then you can see all your things. And I'm like,
oh,
like, here's the thing. I just want to respond to this comment in blanket to everybody out there that said this. I appreciate the creativity, but I will ask this question. If you're a new player coming to BattleTech, should you have to do that? Right? That's my thing. You shouldn't have to build a, you know, like fabricate a dice rolling machine. Now, a couple guys are like, we'll use an app. Again, if I'm a new player, is that incorporated into right. my playing experience out of the box?
You've it's also not. Got to take into account the filming aspect of this. It's not exactly pleasing right. just to dump.
Yeah, or like roll them in these little compartments and then right. like, you know, yeah, no, like, no. no. Right, exactly.
Fundamentally, so, it's a problem with Classic, though. I think they acknowledge that it's like on the cluster table rolls and mm-hmm. everything that goes through that is just, I mean, it can right. get quite monotonous. So, you know,
right. Yeah.
Such is life.
And, you know, like somebody was in a conversation with me. I don't know if it was on Discord or in the YouTube comments, but they're like, well, how else would you do it? And I was like, well, again, I go back to this Dark Heresy reference, which is a 40K RPG. Yeah. When you fire automatic weapons, you roll once and it tells you basically where it starts. And then it tells you all the and you just basically go down the table based on the number of hits. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like anything like that would be fine. Or just like, you know, I roll 2D, like you roll 2D6 and like, it's like, you spread the damage equally over torso, left arm, and you know, the whole left yeah. side of the mech, or the whole right side of the mech, or the yeah. bottom half of the mech, or the top half of the mech, and you just divide up the damage and just spread it, right? Like, I get it that we want like that. The best comment was like, this guy just posts a comment and he goes, BattleTech, a game of armored accounting. And again, like, I'm not a Reddit guy. I don't like sit on Facebook. So this may be like old news to people, but I had not heard that before. And I was like, I was in tears. I was like, oh my God, this is the best comment ever.
I think, look, on a serious note, though, it is quite problematic for the game. I mean, it's as you said, I think if you are looking at it, as you should look at it, which is if you introduce this to somebody as a game, to a young person now, and say, you know, yeah. roll what? I mean, it's like on the best example is the LBX weaponry, right? So LBX weaponry, which does the 1 point of damage. So if you hit 20 on the cluster roll, you are rolling 20 times to do one pip of damage. Now, I know strategically it's beneficial because you have more chance of doing the, you know, crits, but do you really want and expect someone with, you know, especially when you get to the latter part of the game, because remember, that's a short range weapon. So you're probably only going to be using it after turn 5 when your brain usage starts to go down naturally anyway from doing all the dice rolling and the tactics. And then you're asking somebody to roll 20 times.
It's like cognitive. We need to like plot like cognitive function versus like, well, that's a thing. And like, I made this comment before about, you know, making errors on film, like, you know, somebody had made a comment like, oh, I only caught a couple of errors, you know, in the game. And like, that's fine. Like, you know, everybody makes mistakes, but I would really challenge, like, film your own game and then go back and tell me how many mistakes you've made. Like, nobody gets this game right 100% of the time. And that to me is kind of a problem. And it was honestly a problem for 40K too. I haven't played it recently, but with like all of the interacting rules, like you're bound to miss something, right? And I think there's something to be said about the simplicity of Alpha Strike, but you lose almost too much, right? We've had this conversation.
Yeah,
it's like
There is a sweet spot. I mean, I think what's the old adage? That the best games are easy to learn but difficult to master.
Yeah.
That's always my kind of go-to point when I think about, like with Classic. Classic is not a difficult game, really. No. It's, you know, it's quite easy to pick up the rules, but there are just so many rules. And if you naturally get into it and then you kind of get the extra books and you can bake in rules into BattleTech, which could literally take a skirmish 4-on-4 game, could take 12 hours if you started to really do silly things like, oh, you know, like every shot goes off target. It ends up somewhere. So you have to roll to see if it hits a building or something. I mean, it's up to you how complex you make it. But I think even the rules as written in, you know, if you just pick up a game of armored combat and you get the really shortened down rules, which are actually really well done, it's still a bit of a, it can be a monster game. It's like, again, if you go for the LBX as an example, you just don't want that anywhere near a gaming system. I mean, it should be, you know, one roll. Even, you've already brought up the 20 points of damage to do a PSR. That to me is a nightmarish rule because it strips all the fun out of it, because you literally have to account every single point of damage on your mech to see what the PSR results are. And I don't think that's fun. Like, it's a bad rule.
You know what else is funny? So I want to preface by saying, before everybody shuts this off, I actually really enjoyed playing Classic. I want to get back to that.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
I want to get back to that. But I was, it's so funny you bring this up, because I was thinking, everybody, you know, like when we talk about ticks and introducing ticks, right, target interlock circuits in Classic, everyone's like, no, four medium lasers doesn't equal an AC-20. And like, I agree with you. But then why does 20 points of damage from four medium lasers still knock you over? So how about we change the rule entirely from accounting to just like an AC-20 has a knockdown special ability and a Gauss rifle has a knockdown special ability. And if you get hit with these weapons, then you have to make the piloting check. And it's like if you get hit with an LRM-20, maybe that, maybe it does or maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but I'll like, tell you how I ways, do it very quickly. Right?
I've got my little homebrew. I do it in the hit. The roll to hit. So, for instance, like I think I can't, I've got like an extra table that I use. So, an AC-20 on an 8+ on the hit results in a PSR check. But there are no, if you hit any, you can hit as many M lasers as you want, causes no PSR checks because it's literally an energy weapon. And I just have a table of the weapons that do that damage. Now,
it's an energy weapon. How does it knock you over? Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, you're right. It's not consistent and there are flaws in it for sure. But there are a multitude of different reasons you could bake in, which, you know, which fix it. But
will we get the fix? Well, I don't, you know, we've talked about it and you know, Randall has made the comment and, you know, I mean, I get where he's coming from. He's like, well, listen, Classic is still selling. Why would we change it? And I think you said that on an AMA or somewhere, but, and I get that, but I think you change it because it's like the old Blockbuster thing, right? Like, you know, it's like, well, we're selling videotapes. Why would we change it? Like, you know, and then like Netflix, like totally took them out.
Honestly think, honestly, it would take maybe 6 or 7 rules to just change them, tweak them.
I agree.
Just modernize it slightly and put, I mean, keep into the, or bake into the formula as well, that you, there should be rules in there to speed things up. So, you know, like you were saying, you know, if you have that like 4 M lasers that can do, you know, they can hit all on the left torso or whatever when they do it, that really does speed the game up. I mean, I know people don't necessarily like that, but as a, you know, as an optional rule, if you just want to play a game of Classic, because I love Classic. I mean, I love the format of it, but what I don't love is 2.5 to 3 hours, 4 versus 4 mechs or whatever else you're doing. And then someone starts to introduce combined arms into it and there's a whole set of new rules to learn, and you, by the time you know where you are, you're at 3.5-4 hours. So they tweak as opposed to, you know, doing an entire new format of a game or whatever. And I think they really stand good doing that, to be honest.
Well, maybe we'll look into it again. You know, I don't know, maybe we'll take another pass at it.
Well, it will be in Jump Point. We are going to delve into Classic in Jump Point.
We are going to delve into it, and we're going to do probably 2 episodes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I did enjoy playing. I did really miss the uniqueness of the mechs and things along those lines. I did miss, you know, a lot of the sort of the silly things that can happen. Like, you know, you get your arm ripped off on a unlucky 12 or, you know, things along those lines. You're like, crap, right? Like, these things happen and it's fun. And I do like the new battlefield support rules. I thought the battle armor, there's like some weird, I want to call them like timing issues, like with when you can deploy them and like when they can attack and things like that. But largely, like, I thought, they don't cost a lot, and it's like, it's just like, it's like filler on the table. Like, you just slap these extra units down, it makes your force more dynamic. And I think it adds a lot of value versus just like, it's like that extra little thing you have to think about tactically. It's like the pawns in chess, you know. You know, yes, things would die quicker if there were no pawns in your way, but like, it's kind of fun to have them there to like, do I have to deal with it, do I not, right? Anyway. But yeah, it was cool. It was a fun experience. So at the point that we filmed this, Dan and I have filmed 3 games of Classic. And I think we're going to pause there and reassess what we're going to do next. I mean, you know, I'd mentioned, Dom, maybe we'll try a whole other game. Maybe we'll play chess on camera. Could happen.
Amazing.
Could happen.
That really is the quintessential easy to learn, but difficult to master.
Yeah, difficult to master. would be interested to know, leave it in the comments. What other games do you guys play? You know, would you be interested in seeing us, you know, try some other things for a little bit? Of course, we're so invested in BattleTech, we would never abandon it entirely. But yeah, we talked about it, you know, in the past, and I'm curious to know, like, you know, would you guys want to see us play some other games? All right. Well, that said, Dom, I'm all wrapped up here. What about you? Any closing thoughts?
Oh, good. Just congratulations to the winners again. Thank you very much for everyone's entries. They were a real joy to read. So,
very good.
You know, if we run anything like that in the future, it'll probably be a similar format because I did really quite like going through them all. It was very fun.
I know it was very, very cool. You know, it's funny you say that. My closing thought is like, I would love to do one where like they have to like roll up like a Destiny character. And like, give me your best like backstory Destiny character, right? Like you like some stupid like guest agent or something. Like, tell me why like you won't end up dead at the bottom of the ravine, you know, for this particular mission.
The secret son of Theodore Carita or something. Or completely mental.
Oh man, that's fun though. But yeah, it was a good time. So that said. We're all wrapped up. So guys, we hope everybody is enjoying their summer and hope that you did enjoy Independence Day and whatever they celebrate in Canada. Apparently they have like my wife told me they have some sort of like independence type holiday on July 1st. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Didn't know that. I don't know either. I would know.
You just couldn't wait to get away from the British, the lot of you.
That was it. I know. It's true. It's true. But we came back. Much like Classic, we came crawling back. crawling back. Yes.
No comment. I don't want to get any heat off the Americans on this one.
God help us. All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for watching. Keep your eyes peeled for upcoming episodes of Jump Point in the fall. Maybe they'll be on Sunday. Maybe they'll be on our normal Wednesday schedule. We'll see. But in any case, thanks so much for watching. And of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death from Above Wargaming. Have a good day.